This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklyn's Radio.
So to start the programme today, we'd like to welcome Elizabeth O'Shea, parenting coach, author and parenting specialist. That's a mouthful.
It is, thank you.
Tell us a bit about what's brought you to this point, Elizabeth, a bit about your background.
Okay, I was born in Wimbledon, but raised in Chertsey in Surrey, and I eventually got married and had 4 children, and that was quite a handful. So when my newborn was born, I had a 2-year-old, a 4-year-old, and a 6-year-old.
And a husband, obviously.
And a husband.
That's 5.
Which meant that when they went through their teens, I had a 13, 15, 17, and 19-year-old.
Ouch.
So that was quite a handful. And I learned a huge amount and did lots of things related to parenting. I was a qualified nurse, but also then went on to work for Home Start, the charity, and working with parents who were pregnant who'd had abuse or neglect in the past to break the cycle. And eventually I got made redundant, and within 10 days I was flat on my back, and I thought, what would I love to do with the rest of my life? And I thought, if I could change the lives of children, that's what I would really love to do. So that's when I started my business, and that's what I'm working towards. And my mission is to help 1 million children have a happier childhood through helping parents learn great parenting skills.
One parent at a time.
One parent at a time.
That's a real challenge.
Yeah, that is a real challenge.
It is a very rewarding one.
It's wonderful.
Absolutely. And did you pick up these skills just through you having had the 4 children yourself and seeing their friends and what not to do? And, you know, I wouldn't do it like that if I were you, kind of sort of attitude or...
That's interesting. I'm never judgmental. I think parents really try to do the best they can. So I did learn a lot on the job, working hard. I had everything. With 4 children, you had everything thrown at you. The tantrums, the fussy eating, the not sleeping, the teenage angst. But I then went on to train in 4 different types of parenting courses. And then what I do now is I've developed my own kind of eclectic mix of things that work. So what I say to parents when they come to work with me is if everything's okay and I think I really can help, that I guarantee to make sure that everything's sorted by the time they finish with me. And so
I offer a money back guarantee
because I think parents don't want to waste their money on something that may not work. It's a reasonable investment. And so for me, it has to work. Sure. And occasionally I've got to the point with parents of teenagers who've got to the 5th of 6 sessions and things aren't working. And I say to them, what's more important, getting your money back or getting this sorted? And by the time they come back to me, it's sorted because they know what they need to be doing, but there's just something holding them back. And they have all the skills to change their teenager's life. There's just something that's not fitting right.
And I think obviously myself and Anne have both gone through the teenage years and we've come out the other side, hopefully, relatively unscathed.
Yep.
But you can't parent a teenager the same way you parent a smaller child. And I think often parents forget that.
Yes.
It's a lot more a negotiation that goes on with teens, isn't
there? Yes. So a younger child, you can often tell them what to do, and most of the time they'll do it. As soon as they get to the teenage years, you have to negotiate everything. However, you still do need to put your foot down.
Sure.
And you still need to find, you know, really firm boundaries, particularly with things like screen time. Children will be on screens as long as you'll let them.
Yeah, that's true.
And you have to have boundaries. And the best way to do that is to have a limit in time. And when they've done their homework, when they've done their chores, when they've done everything else, they can have that screen time.
Do you think that maybe as parents today we're trying to be their friends too much? Do you know what I mean? But you can't be their friend and be their parent because, as you say, you've got to have the boundaries. And sometimes those lines are blurred, aren't they? A little bit.
Yeah, what I find is it's the nicest, loveliest, kindest parents that are the ones that come to see me. Because they try to do too much and they try to give their children too much leeway and they don't like to upset their children by setting boundaries. And they're the ones I need to change because children have to have boundaries. You can't be a child's friend and get them to 18 as an adult that you'd be proud to send out into the world.
Yeah, it's so true. I was with a colleague yesterday and I've got a 20 and 21-year-old and she's got a 9 and a 10-year-old and she was talking about what she was going to cook for supper and she said, it's not a restaurant, you know, I've got to make them see that it's take it or leave it. I said, absolutely.
You know,
if you start giving them 15 choices, then they'll always want 15 choices.
Yes.
You know, and that is the point, isn't it? Setting boundaries when they're young and then actually the teenage years I think are easier if you've been stricter when they're younger, in my experience.
Yes, the only thing is the strictest parents are the ones that have the teenagers that go off the rails. So that's okay. Where the negotiation comes in, the balance and the talking with teenagers.
I mean, you touched on something very early on, which is a real bugbear of mine, which is social media, particularly at the dinner table. And I don't know about you, Elizabeth, but I'm sure we've been to restaurants and you look around the restaurant and everyone is on their phone.
Yes.
And it's almost like you want a restaurant to have to be somewhere where phones are banned, literally have to leave it at the desk, because I don't understand why parents can't just say, just for the duration of this meal, you're not allowed to have your phone. Why is that so hard?
It is hard because the children want to stay on, and you're absolutely right. Meal times should be screen free. Nobody should have a screen, including the parents, at mealtimes. What we're actually raising, and the biggest difficulty, is a generation of children that don't have the social skills. And that's because they're not being expected to sit down and have mealtimes with parents and talk regularly. They're on the screen so much, and it's a safe little bubble for them to be in. Social media, they get completely caught up in it. And they need time talking, negotiating, dealing with conflict, and just having conversations.
I think one of the saddest things I saw was a device for nursing mothers where they can have the bottle and their phone at the same time, so they can still be on their phone while they're nursing. And I just think that's really sad.
It's
crazy.
The saddest device I saw was a potty with a built-in iPad dock so that the child could sit and play on the iPad while they're being potty trained.
That's scary, isn't it?
It just means that they would sit there completely engrossed in their own little world until they produce something. And you just think that is happening sort of like at 2 years old.
Yeah, what are we teaching them?
So what do you think are some of the biggest issues that parents come to you facing? Is it social media? Is it bullying? Is it anxiety around exams? What is it that's going on at the moment?
I suppose the two biggest ones are anger, angry children that are defiant, rude, obnoxious, difficult. And the truth is they're not awful children. It's actually the parents. I only ever work with parents. I don't ever see the children, but I show parents how to be different with their children. It is about setting boundaries, but it's also about doing the lovely things like praising children and helping them and empathizing with them when they're struggling. So that's one of the biggest ones, anger. Anxiety, it's more and more. I'm having 7-year-olds with panic attacks. I'm having 15-year-old school refusers. I'm having children that are really struggling with anxiety. And that's because parents are doing too much. These children aren't helping at home. They're often not responsible for their own homework. The parents become homework monitors. The children are wrapped in cotton wool and they're not able to deal with real life and deal with the real world. And it's not about toughening a child up. It's about changing the parents' attitudes towards the children to make sure that you're not expected to do everything around the house. You know, the child should be helping. Every child should do jobs around the house for free just because they're part of a family.
It's almost like it's such a difficult thing to get them to do. It's easier for parents just to cave and say, I'd rather do it myself, but they're not doing them any favours, as you say, in the long term. They can't always do everything for them, can they?
Absolutely.
Can't rescue them all the time.
So you're working with the parents, so it's not a kind of super nanny kind of situation. You're not monitoring how the parents are interacting with the children. Are you just sort of responding to them to how they tell you they behave?
Well, what I do is before I start working with a family, I send them a form and I get them to tell me everything that's going wrong, all of the issues that they have. I then work out exactly what parenting skills they need, and then I teach them those parenting skills. And actually, most of my work is on Skype. So I ask parents to commit to 6 90-minute Skype sessions, and I monitor their progress all the way through. So they'll come back and say, yes, this is working, but we had this big outburst, and then I'll talk to them about how to change that. So every step of the way, I'll monitor the child, but through the parents.
So you don't even meet the child at all?
Never meet the children.
Interesting.
So do the parents come to the realisation that actually when they change their behaviour, then their child will change? Or do they ever sort of say, it's nothing to do with me, it's my child?
They come in convinced it's their child. And by the time we finish, they know that they have changed their child's behaviour. And that can even be sleep. I get a lot of parents coming to me whose children won't sleep through the night, even to the point of sort of like 7. I had one mum who came to me whose child had been sick with cancer, and finally she was all right again, but this child wouldn't sleep without the parents in the room. And so they'd promised her a kitten, if she would sleep through the night. And I said, it's a shame you promised her that, because within a couple of weeks she will be sleeping through the night. And it took a week. And it's just a matter of teaching parents how to get the child to really want to sleep through the night.
So how did you... I'm intrigued now. What did you do?
Do you know, the best thing is questions. I think parents don't understand the value of really good questions. It's about actually asking your child, what's important about sleeping through the night? What would be good about it? Why would we want you to sleep through the night? How can you remember to sleep through the night? And all the questions are questions that get the child thinking of the way you want them to behave.
So you're putting the ball back in their court, aren't you?
Absolutely, yeah. But you're not saying, why don't you sleep?
Yeah.
Why did you come into our bedroom in the night? So you change the way you think. And it's not rocket science. No. But it is a science.
I can remember doing parenting classes when mine were really little, and one day one of them had to go to school and the other one, obviously, one of them had to go, the other one was off sick, so the other one didn't want to go because his brother wasn't going, and they said, just ask him, what would make you feel happy about going to school today? And I thought, well, if I ask him that, he's going to ask for a bike or a car, yeah, or whatever. Yeah. And he said, Mummy, can I have the green Pringles box instead of the red one? That was all he wanted, because I'd asked the question.
Wonderful.
That's all he wanted. I was flabbergasted.
Yeah.
It does work.
It does work. And it changes mindsets and it changes children's behaviour. Yes.
So which is the most challenging, the teenager, because they're kind of setting their ways, or the toddler?
Oh, toddlers are so easy.
Are they?
Toddlers are wonderful.
Are they?
Normally,
not in my memory.
When parents come to me with an issue with a toddler, we can do that in 3 sessions and it's completely sortable.
Okay.
So that's from biting to tantrums that last for hours to not sleeping through the night. Those are quite quick and easy.
Yeah.
The teenagers are a lot harder.
Because they're set in their ways.
They're set in their ways, and so are the parents. And
yeah,
parents don't always want to change what they're doing with their teenagers. And yet the teenagers need the respect. They need to be treated, you know, really well, but carefully. And it's changing that mindset. Mm. So often I included in the sessions is unlimited email support. And with teenagers, I'll know that I'll get quite a lot of emails to say, this has happened, that's happened. So I will constantly hold their hand right the way through the process until everything's sorted. But it's harder with teenagers.
Yeah, I can believe it.
So breaking it down then, what are some of the things that you can provide for people? What are some of the services you can offer?
Okay, well, I do a whole range of things. So there's free guides, free downloadable guides on the website. There's small paid-for guides, which are quite good and succinct in sorting things out, all the way through to half-hour Fix It Friday sessions, or an hour. So if parents just have a small problem, they just want a parenting specialist. And then I do the full works, which is 6 90-minute Skype sessions, which just turns people's lives around. It's just so wonderful. I have the best job in the world, because it's so nice to see the children happy, the parents happy, everybody getting on, and the parents knowing exactly how to respond as soon as there's an issue.
So I'm intrigued. What is the 100-day parenting challenge?
Okay, the 100-day parenting challenge is where parents agree to spend 15 minutes a day and they get 100 small little challenges each day to do with their child. All of them are geared towards helping a child, just moving the child closer to connection with the parents.
So give us an example of what a 15-minute thing could be.
Okay, so it might be reading with your child. It might be it's talking about tricky subjects, maybe sometimes drugs or smoking, things like that. It could be just changing what they do, so noticing the positive things that the child does. It could be listening to music together. So there's lots of different things, but all in all, it just gives the parents a wonderful range of different things to be able to do.
I mean, the reading thing I was surprised about, because I've got a friend who's a teacher, and she said when she asked the pupils in her primary school class to put their hand up if their parents read to them, only half put their hands up.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Primary school, only half.
Yeah. And it's such a wonderful thing for parents to do. And I think sometimes one of the things I love to advise parents to do is to spend 15 minutes quality time with their children every day, with each child every day. And when parents come to me and they say, I can't spend 15 minutes with each child, I question why they became a parent, because it's so important for children to have that little chunk of quality time, even if that's snuggling up in bed just before they go to bed, reading stories. Something that the child enjoys is just so important, because that's why people have children, to have those relationships with them.
Yeah. And what about older children? Well, they're not children anymore, they're adults, and they could be, say, university age. Do you deal with issues with them? I mean, they're still our children, but...
They are, and things do change. And what I say to parents is that by the time your child reaches 18, your role changes to become their friend, their support, and their guide when they ask for advice.
Yeah.
You have to make sure that by the time your child reaches 18... that you've done your job as a parent, that they are ready, as I say, to leave the world, leave home with all the life skills they need, with all the qualities and characteristics you want. And so I tend to stop normally working with parents around about the age of 16.
It's interesting, though, because some people, I think, are still dealing with challenges at that sort of age, aren't they?
Yeah.
They are, but if at 16, you've still got 2 years before they reach that 18-year adult status. By the time you're 17, you're so close, you're kind of losing that parental responsibility.
So as a parent with this 26-year-old, are you saying I've got no hope when I get to that age? Then is that it? Then? I can't contact you about him.
No, but I did have one mum.
16.
I had one mum phoning up and saying that she wanted help with her 34-year-old child. And I did explain that that wasn't a service I offered.
I've got a 55-year-old child.
Yeah, that's a different conversation.
Yeah. Oh, sadly, Elizabeth, we've reached the end of our interview. And it's a real shame because I've had great fun here. But could you give the guests like a bit of advice, maybe one of your seven deadly sins, one thing not to do?
Okay, change your focus from noticing all the negative things your child does to noticing all the positive things your child does. Try and mention as many as you can every day, because children do a lot of things, and we tend to think, we're adults, so we tend to notice all the negative things and comment on them because they're not doing what they should be doing. So what I'm saying is change your focus and notice all the good things and start commenting on those, because what you pay attention to, you get more of.
Yeah, exactly. Very wise words indeed. And if people want to contact you, have you got an email address, Elizabeth?
Yes, it's elizabeth@parent4success.com.
And your website?
Is www.parent4success.com.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. That was Elizabeth O'Shea from parent4success.com.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklands Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklandsradio.co.uk, or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklands Radio. Just Women is just what you need.